You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Father, these words that are on the screen, I have tasted life. Nothing satisfies like you do. The fount that won't run dry, nothing satisfies like you do. Lord, we sing those words and we look at the waves or the water that's coming close to the shore. Father, that speaks to us about the thirst that you desire that we would have for you, and that we would thirst for you every day, every moment, every hour. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of darkness, Father, that we would remember that you are the fount of life, that you are all that really matters, and you're all that really satisfies above everything, above all. Father, in the midst of our worlds as we know them, we're trusting and believing, Lord, that you're the answer that you say you are in the scriptures, and that you become a reality in our everyday walk, in our everyday life, every day, that dependence on you would grow, the heart for you would grow, the desire for you would grow, the hope to evangelize others and lead them into that safe place with you would grow. Father, that's our desire. Your purposes would be fulfilled. Your purposes would be accomplished in each one of our lives, God. And that you would expand our eyes to see you for who you are, expand our vision and the reality of who you're becoming inside, to capture our hearts in new and refreshing ways, and that those that are surrounding us, Lord, would be able to see you and believe you and want you, because you're the desire of the nations and you want to make that known. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This morning when I was preparing to come, I received an encouraging word from a few ladies who were praying, and Isaiah 58:8 was on their heart. And then it reads, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." And the words of encouragement were, "We're praying for continued health and protection for you and sending glory bombs your way." And when I received that encouraging word, I thought how blessed I am to be able to open up my cell and receive something that wasn't asked for directly, but the Lord knew that would be so encouraging, so strengthening, and so helpful to me personally, and also what the Lord wants to release in our midst today. Because when he speaks about your light breaking forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, your righteousness shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, it speaks of the depth of protection and love and guarding and wholeness that's surrounding those who the Lord calls his own. And so he's encouraging us today. He's encouraging us this morning to believe him and allow him to recalibrate our hearts, recalibrate our thinking, and to allow anything that would attempt to steal, kill, destroy, rob that from our midst, for that to be eradicated away from us. So the momentary darkness or the momentary feelings, the momentary afflictions or the momentary thoughts would be corralled by the Lord himself, so that rear guard, Jesus, our rear guard, the word of God, the glory of God, would so surround us and so take us into a place where our trust for him would grow, that we could actually say the words, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Many of us know the song that, I don't know if it's called "It's Well With My Soul," peace like "It's Well With My Soul." And that song is the one that Troy had mentioned. It was very near and dear to his heart when his mom passed into eternity. And it was one of the songs, that one of the worship times that really, really touched him deeply. And I think it was one of your mom's songs, or just a song for you. Yes, I'm just going to let him say it, since this is just flowing here.
The history on the song is that it was written by Horatio Spafford, and he and his wife Anna Spafford were traveling. We're going to set up what's now the American colonies in Jerusalem, and so Anna Spafford and their four daughters went ahead on a ship, and as they were crossing the Atlantic, they collided with another ship in the fog. And so Horatio got a telegram back that just said, "Saved alone, Anna." And the four daughters passed away in that accident. And so when Horatio was coming across the Atlantic and somewhere in that vicinity of where that accident took place, he wrote the song, "It Is Well." And, you know, if you know the hymn, you know, it's just no matter what goes on in life, the ups and the downs and the rounds, that, you know, it is well with my soul. You know, we know who our Savior is. We know who our Redeemer is, and he's good and faithful and everything. So the day my mother passed, we were in the emergency room, and she had had a heart attack and passed away suddenly. And I was there with my dad and a couple brothers, and Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat had made it there. And, you know, as we're praying and just, "Lord, is this the end? Is, you know, is she really gone? Or is there something you want to do here?" Because we know the Bible says that, you know, the dead will, you know, the dead will come back. You know, the dead will, there will be resurrection. And so as we were praying into that, Pastor Bill just had a word from the Lord and began to sing the song, "It Is Well." As I recall, he began to sing it somewhere in there, but just shared it with me maybe at first. And not knowing the history of our family, that it's well. And it just spoke to my heart so deeply that she's in heaven. She's rejoicing with the Father. She's with Jesus. And, you know, it is well with my soul. It is well with her soul. So that is kind of the history of the song, and just some of the significance. So it was a prophetic word that really encouraged my dad in that time, too, to know that it's okay. And God is good. So. What's that? Well, yeah. Oh, so yeah. I guess I didn't finish that part of it. So my grandfather actually grew up in the American colonies. My great grandparents met in the American colonies as a full Jew and a Swedish. My great grandfather, great great grandfather, was Jewish from Louisiana to the American colonies, and my great great grandmother was Swedish from Sweden, and they met there. Had my grandfather, and he came over to the United States in 1930 in that ballpark. And but that's where my family came together, and that's why the history of Horatio writing that song, you know, is so significant for our family, because they were the ones that had that whole colony of, it was kind of like humanitarian slash Christian colony that took place. And there's the history of it's amazing in terms of peace treaties and peace in Israel and stuff like that. So long-term connection.
That's awesome. So we don't realize as we're going through various trials of various struggles, highs and lows and ups and downs in our life, what the Lord wants to is planning on doing and wants to do as he surrounds us and is our rear guard and has words of life and people in places and songs created and all kinds of things to be able to help us get through so that we're not staying in the place where our soul would receive more decay. The Lord's all about life and wants to release life to us at the end of 2019 here, and we're bridging over to 2020. You know, I saw something on Facebook that was a little grieving. You know, some people were kind of saying, not kind of, they were saying, gee, I hope we don't get another message about 2020 vision. And people's responses were interesting, you know, kind of trying to be cute maybe. But I thought, oh, this is sacred. This is precious. You're not seeing that the Lord wants us to see. So you're blasting that out on a place for others to see that those who will respond are not seeing what the Lord wants us to see. Because certainly there is a significance for this new decade being the 20s. We know in the 1900s there were the roaring 20s. And what will this decade bring? What will these 20s bring? And so the Lord does want us to see. And when we talk about 2020 vision, we think of that as being a place of excellent seeing, right? So the Lord is calling us into excellence. He's calling us into maturity. And those are words that we've heard constantly for the last year. It's a time of excellence, a time of maturity. And he's really serious about bringing that to pass in our lives if we let him. And so if we can step out and believe and say the words, it is well with my soul because you say so. Not because I feel it, but it is well with my soul because of who you are. When you come into a place of tragedy where there was a sudden taking or removal or an end to a life, not knowing which way to go, what to feel, what to think, and we've had some other things like that happen in our own families and at this body as well. And to have a word from the Lord, it is well with my soul, or to have that song, or to have something that would just jump charge us to be able to remember, God, you've got this. I don't understand it. My heart is in shambles or grieved or whatever, and I don't even know what to say, what to do, what to think, what to feel. All I know is I have to depend more on you. Help me. And so I've seen that modeled here in this body, and Troy gave a beautiful expression of how that affected one word, just affected his life and his family and the encouragement that brought in the midst of pain. It was something that people can always go back to and say, remember that? So here's Troy speaking about that. Is it 13 years? 14? Or 11 and a half years ago. And it still comes to life. And it's quickened inside of me when I mentioned it is well with my soul up here. And then Troy takes the mic. You see, the Lord is so faithful. We sing of his faithfulness and we think of his ways being so different, so much higher than our ways, that we can be strengthened and encouraged knowing that his promises, when we say his promises are yes and amen, that he really means it. And he's saying, if you'll take a step, and hold fast to that and believe that and take a step and say, I'm not feeling the belief. I know. And take a step. Nevertheless, your word says it is well with my soul. It is to think that way, to believe that way, to take a step, and that you'll be the empowerment for that. That's encouraging, isn't it? That our God is that faithful. Those of you who are able to be here on Christmas Eve, we had a beautiful time. And I hope that those who weren't had a beautiful time doing what you were doing. But when we were here on Christmas Eve, the Lord had some beautiful worship time together and also a message surrounding what the Lord was wanting to release, we felt. at that time for what we had time-wise, to be able to help people take a step into not just saying this is the real meaning of Christmas, but growing in a place of dependence on the one who is the reason for celebration of Christmas ultimately, even though we, you know, say that's not always the case for our families or our situations, we might say that. But in our hearts, the Lord's looking at that, and he's looking for us to be able to focus on him and who he is. So we had an opportunity to show a couple films, short clips. One was short, and one was about 15 minutes, and there were two of them. And interestingly, both of them were very scriptural. And one of them, the first one, was speaking about the end from the beginning. At least that's part I added. And it was so dealing with Jesus coming to this earth to die and resurrect. And so taking a look in 4 minutes at the full picture of why we celebrate Christmas. And then going back to the beginning where Joseph and Mary needed to find a place to have Jesus. Why that happened, what happened after that, and how the Lord was very, the Lord was, it's always funny to say, the Lord was prophetic. The Lord is prophecy. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when we testify of him, that's who he is. So the Lord was giving us a glimpse into how he looks at things in the scriptures and how he desired to make himself known to Joseph. He desired to make himself known to Simeon. He desired to make himself known to the wise men who wisely made a trek from the Far East, which took a very long time, and they didn't make it from what Scripture has indicated on the night that Jesus was born necessarily. So it was very interesting to see, to actually watch a film that would depict the reality of the Scripture where Jesus and Mary and Joseph opened the door in their house and little Jesus was a child. And the three kings from afar, and we sing the three kings from the Orient, so we don't know how far exactly it was, the Magi, but we don't know the exact place, but we do know it was the Far East. And we do know that that trek, that traveling was so significant and prophetic. So when we spoke about how the wise men came on the scene, they bowed down as people who were in high authority, people who would humble themselves and come as leaders from the far, far east and bring the best, bring the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, and bring the fountain of life from a natural perspective to represent the goodness of God, to represent the power of God, to represent the incense and the fragrance of this new king who has come from heaven to earth to take the form of a child. But he's the king of the universe and the king of celebration and the king of the world. So it was really, I thought, staggering to be able to show that where we've not seen that. It's a new film, and we've not seen it actually portrayed that way. And so as we were talking about concluding and talking about the goodness of God and how he wanted us from the very beginning to see that he was a desire of the nations. From the very beginning, through prophecy, 300 plus prophecies in the Old Testament, each one being fulfilled, to the day he was born, and then right after that, as his life continued, he was being hunted even before he was going to, as Mary was giving birth, and even before that, the decrees, and afterwards, and Joseph had to flee to Egypt. So he was always hunted. He was always attacked. He was always on the edge. He was always trying to be gotten rid of, so to speak, always. But at the same time, when love came down and made his way into this world, love came down and made such a difference that the glory of the Lord shined so strongly that brought these leaders from afar to lay before, to bow down in the presence of a child. Childlike humility, but representing the gold, incense, and myrrh. giving the gold incense and myrrh, giving the best that they had. But their time spent to pursue was what really mattered. And that's what was being shown, among other things, in the nativity account. In the time when Jesus came to this earth, Jesus came down. Very interesting. It's like, Lord, you had global evangelism on your mind even then. And you brought people to you because they had to encounter you. And the shepherds had to encounter you. And they were sent angels to speak, to relay to them the truth of who you are and what was happening. And they were able to go very close, up close and personal. And those encounters never changed. And Jesus, wherever he went, anyone who encountered him encountered fullness, encountered 100% perfection, encountered the maturity of God. Isn't that beautiful? So that was some of what we shared on Christmas Eve. And we're hoping and trusting that this year in 2020, when we have opportunities to go abroad, when we have opportunities to share the gospel, when we have opportunities to just walk down the street and say, Lord, now what do I do? That we'll be thinking not about what we can get, but what we can give, what we can receive. Who knows what Simeon was thinking? Who knows what the three wise men were thinking? But they received. Simeon received the truth. Simeon received what needed to happen in his life and what was promised, and then he could go home to be with the Lord. And he was then able to prophesy the future of the reason for Jesus coming, the future. Here's what happened. I'm speaking out the fulfillment that the baby's here, and here's what he's going to do. Isn't that amazing? And that's even before the wise men came, or the kings. So when we think about all of the people in the scriptures that we learn about, that we talk about here, or that we share about in our own quiet time with the Lord and with each other, when we talk about things, we just say to the Lord, Lord, you are the one who knows everything from the end to the beginning. That's why the Lord put it on my heart, honestly, to to switch up the videos that were shown or the films that were shown on Christmas Eve. Did that at the last minute. Wasn't planning that. There was a little bit of a time constraint, seemingly, which is one of the reasons. But the other reason also was that the Lord wanted to show the beginning and the end together and then unpack it. So this will be a year of unpacking the greater glory that the Lord wants to bring, the greater glory this coming year, the greater time where the Lord wants to take us into a significant place where we're not just getting, but we're giving. We're encountering him, which will bring about the receiving. So the three kings who came, they were the ones who were extremely blessed, in addition to Mary, Joseph, and the child Jesus, small child. They were extremely blessed, and all the people who were around them. We don't know exactly what that looked like. We saw it on a film. But they were all blessed because they encountered the one who is blessing and who receives blessing and who gives blessing. So when we bless the name of the Lord, we are in a place of receiving. And when we say all your promises are yes and amen, we don't have to make a New Year's resolution list or anything like that. We can just say, Lord, I'm choosing to step towards you and encounter you in fullness and not stop. Not stop when something feels really good. Not stop when it feels like, oh, good, it'll get better in the future. But right now I'm just stopping. And that's the worst thing that we can do, because we cut off the flow that the Lord wants to bring. He wants to take us into the deeper end for each one of us in this season, in this next year. When we have New Year's Eve celebration, and Tiana can speak about that wherever you are. Yeah, you can speak about that. We will we'll have a very significant time, and I'm encouraging you to join us if you're able to, where we will be releasing and speaking about and holding fast to the prophetic side of life. What is prophecy, And what does that have to do with us right now? Will this unlock things for us in the future? Yes. Is that the intention of the Lord? Yes. Is it to increase us when we encounter him, as we encounter him? Yes. Is it to give us a glimpse into seeing things with better vision? Yes. Does it have anything to do with 2020? Yes. You know, and so we're putting it out there before the Lord and saying, Lord, develop this. So this is staggering for us. So when we take that step into January and we do this as a family, yeah, we're just really able to see what he wants us to see. We encourage you to invite your families. We encourage you to invite people to come. We encourage you. Don't be concerned about whether they're walking closely with Jesus or not. Jesus went everywhere, and he wasn't concerned with where the people were in response to him, per se. He was and is who he was and is, and he just showed up. So when we show up and we say, Lord, help us increase our sensitivity to relate to the beautiful people who will come, invite your neighbors, invite your friends. You never know what's going to touch somebody. It just might be one word, because it was one drop of blood that changed everything. So I'd love to have a packed house and love this to be the most significant end of the year transition that we've ever had. So, Tiana, did you want to say something? Because I'm really, that's all I know right now, other than it's going to be great. So,
I mean, that pretty much says it all. Bring your favorite dish and then bring your favorite games and make sure you put your names on your games and come at 6:30 and we'll eat at 7 and we'll have a good time praising the Lord into the new year.
Amen. All right, children, get to go to the last kingdom land. Oh, wait a minute, children, don't move.
We just want to make sure all the parents, teachers, and children hear this announcement for Fire and Incense, 100 Hours of Prayer and Worship, which is coming up again January 7th through the 11th. So our kickoff will be Fire and Wind on the 7th. We'll have worship as usual, and then we'll have all of our stations set up for the following 100 hours. So technically it ends Saturday the 11th at 11 p.m. So we encourage you to mark your calendars. We would especially love to fill the night hours, and we'll have more information about that and get a sign-up sheet out to you, and we'll have more information about worship as well. But just so you can be planning for that, those are really incredible times to just come in and seek God's face, spend time in his presence, and cry out for the things that are on his heart. So we appreciate your participation.
One last word of clarification. When I was saying we want to position ourselves not just to get, what I mean by that, this is just prompted, is that we are always to take steps in the presence of the Lord to position ourselves to receive him, because he's always releasing. And so that's a little bit different. And there's nothing, you know, the Lord is not saying that you can't receive good things, because he is good, and when he's giving to us, we're blessed. But it's our posture of heart, it's our posture of faith, to just say, Lord, I want you above all else, and you'll add everything unto me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all shall be added unto you. Amen. There we go. 100 hours of prayer and worship.
Children are released twice. Lord, here we are again, coming before you. Pray that we would have an attitude of reverence and fear in your presence, a righteous openness to you. We declare to our hearts. You are open. Open to you, Holy Spirit, to lead us. Open to you, Holy Spirit, to convict us. Open to you, Holy Spirit, to change us. We're here. We're ready to receive. We put away all distractions, all negativity, any thought that we're not worthy, because we know we're not, but you made us your sons and daughters. You offer that to anyone who will receive Jesus, who makes up all the difference. Lord, we receive Jesus even more right now, more than ever. And our hearts will fly open, open doors to you, Lord. Open hearts to you. Let our minds line up under the direction of our spirit. Let our emotions line up under the direction of our spirit. Let our will line up under the direction of our spirit, which is listening to you, Holy Spirit. Our spirit is willing. Even if our flesh is weak, our spirit is saying yes, 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 yes to all that you want to teach us, all that you want to show us. Yes, 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 despite everything we face, any trial, any situation, any negative thoughts, any negative emotions, our spirit rises up, empowered by your Holy Spirit, and says yes, matches with your Holy Spirit, and says yes. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being within. Our spirit is not crying out to your spirit far away, for the kingdom of God is within. You're inside, Holy Spirit, to communicate, to empower our spirit to love you, follow you, obey you, care about what you care about. We give you praise in Jesus' name. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I must admit, last week, if you were here, I'm not sure what I said about the wise men, but I've dug into them a little bit, and it was interesting that Pastor Mary Pat had that as a theme in what she shared this morning. You know, you hear it in this season, wise men still seek him. And I suppose that that means that we're supposed to be wise men and women that go after his heart. And that's a good thing, but it becomes a phrase like anything else in the Christmas season. We make an ornament out of it. We put a star on our Christmas tree, wise men still seek him. We see articles in the newspaper, wise men still seek him. But it seems as though there are very few across the earth that are truly seeking him, seeking what he wants, wanting not just his stamp of approval on what we want, but actually seeking what he wants. So last week, if I mentioned something about the wise men and it differs with what I share today, it's because I've dug a little bit deeper into the wise men. And I saw some things in reading in Matthew 1 and 2 that I didn't see last week as we talked about various encounters that people had when Jesus came to the earth. As we said last week, it was an explosion of encounters with heaven coming to earth. Angels showing up in fields. Angels showing up to a carpenter. several times in dreams. And God did it differently with each person. He had such variety. You never know what variety your encounter is going to fit into. It'll probably be very unique. He likes every encounter to show who he is. I deal with you as an individual. I speak to you as an individual. If you hear of encounters of someone else, you might say, wow, I want those kinds of encounters with God. But he's going to give you something very unusual compared to someone else, more than likely. Very unique. He likes to work with us as individuals, to show us that he values us as individuals. Why didn't he just make us a whole bunch of people, you know, just like Carl Maxfield or Josh Jacquet? Why weren't we all just Josh Jacquet, Carl Maxfield? Maybe, you know, Rachel White. Why aren't we all just like clones of one particular person? We all would look at each other and say, wow, you're looking handsome today, so are you. You're looking beautiful today, well, so are you. Because we'd all look the same and all act the same and have the same kinds of encounters with God, because we're all kind of cloned to be the same. But no, he made us absolutely individual. Your DNA proves it. Your fingerprints prove it. Everything about you is unique to God. He sees you as an individual inside of a family that he is forming. And he values us highly, individually, not just as a glump of Christians or the church, but he actually values us as individuals, sees us as valuable gold, incense, and myrrh presented to him. I love that about God. If I didn't feel value, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I couldn't. I just couldn't if I didn't feel valuable to him. There are too many hits, too many things that happen, too many things where you're kind of put in a position of not feeling very valuable. But then God comes along and says, no, I value you. I value you. Even though you don't always respond like I would want you to respond, I value you. Like a child that's growing, we value them even though they're disobedient at times. We care about their lives even though they might scream in public situations. We value them even though they might get gum from the pastor and leave it in the carpet. We value those children. And God does the same with us. And he shows us things on the earth that he does in heaven. Parenting. He parents us. God is our parent. We say he's our father. But he parents us our whole life. Think about it. When we just went to an 80th birthday party last night of someone that people were saying is the greatest servant they'd ever met at this gathering. That's pretty cool. They'd be called the greatest servant that the people there had ever met. And they were saying it one right after the other. And Pastor Mary Pat gave a beautiful sharing from her heart of how he impacted her life, how this couple impacted her life at one point. Pretty cool. But that person at 80 is still being parented. Might be the greatest servant that anyone has ever seen other than Jesus. But that 80-year-old is still being parented by God. That gives me hope. Because I'm glad God's not done parenting me. There are a few things I want to change. I want to see changed in my life. And I need his parenting. I didn't realize that was such a hard word to say. Parenting. And so it is with the wise men. Apparently, they were magi. which means they studied the stars. They were astrologers, but it was a very developed science back then, studying the stars. And so kings would ask them what's going on. I mean, you've looked at the stars. What's going to happen? So when Alexander the Great was coming on the scene, it was actually reported that there was some kind of star that they saw, and there were prophecies about him. So Jesus wasn't the only one where there were prophecies and fulfillment. God kind of gave them a little bit of a preview, so they'd be looking for another king. So a lesser person, Alexander the Great, you know, he really wasn't that great. He just conquered people and took over the world and things like that by the sword. Here comes a king that's going to take over the world by love. And God kind of got them ready. And so you say, well, that's weird. Why would he do that? I mean, this is astrology-like stuff. This is terrible stuff. Do you know that God can move kings like chess pieces? He can move astrologers around like chess pieces. People that look at the stars and come up with things for kings to consider as they make decisions for war or peace or whatever, he can just move them like chess pieces. Didn't he do that with Pharaoh? Moved him like a chess piece. Pharaoh thought he was in charge, the most powerful ruler of his time, and God moved him like a chess piece. So are we concerned about what we see in the world events? What looks like chaos, God is moving the chess pieces into place for Jesus to come again. We mentioned last week this was the darkest point in human history when Jesus came into the world. Herod the Great, another great. I don't know why they call wicked men great, but they did. Herod the Great had killed off a couple of sons already in order to keep his throne. So when the wise men came, they came to Jerusalem. They had followed the star to Jerusalem. Where else would a king be? And I had kind of had this wrong. As far as we know, they didn't have this prophecy in Matthew 2:6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That came from the chief priests and the scribes when Herod, who was kind of the puppet king for the Jews, you know, they put a puppet king in charge and then they put a governor over that puppet king. And the puppet king could do certain things, and it was to make the people feel better that they had someone that was kind of the Jewish line. Okay, he's in a position of authority. And it was to keep them quiet. And this is what Rome did all across the earth. They allowed them to have their own king, but they were over top of them. And so here it is, Herod the Great, and he's trying to keep his throne. And so he kills off a couple of his kids in order to keep his throne. So it wasn't unusual that he would try to kill the children in Bethlehem. And he was so murderous, and he had so many things that he did that were evil, that the writers in ancient times, they don't even mention the slaughter in Bethlehem because he was so wicked. Only the Bible mentions it. Interesting. So the wise men, they look at the stars, they see an unusual phenomenon. They don't know what to do with it other than it seems to be moving. Maybe it's the glory of God like the children of Israel followed. It was something that was beckoning them, moving them. Last week I said it kind of went like this. Come from the east. And they're thinking Persia because we've heard Persia a lot because they had a caste of magi, those that looked at the stars and gave information to the kings of Persia to try to give them some information on where to move in war and all that business. Now, we know that's cultic, but God is moving them like chess pieces. So he moves the wise men by a star. Maybe it's similar to the glory of God moving, a cloud, a pillar, who knows, but it shone in the night, and they followed it. But they followed it to where they would expect the king to be, Jerusalem. And then they're confused. They're asking, they're talking to people, hey, where's he that's called king of the Jews? And of course, Herod's got his spies out there listening for anyone that would rise up against him. He's already killed off two children to keep his throne, thinking they might try to take over, which was very common back then. And they're saying, where is he, king of the Jews? Herod is the one that invites them secretly to come to him. What's going on here? Why are you seeking a king? And where is this king supposed to be? And he checks with the scribes and the priests, and they gave the prophecy from Micah 5:2 about Bethlehem being the place. Now get this. The scribes and the chief priests, they now know that there are wise men seeking the king of the Jews in this area, and yet they don't go out there to Bethlehem. It's a very short distance. We were just there in June, as I mentioned last week. Very short distance. Why didn't they go there? Why didn't Herod just go there? It's not that far away. Look for himself. Because if it was an uprising, they might this king's followers might assassinate him. Maybe that's why he didn't go there. Why didn't the scribes and the priests, if they hear, wow, the king is here. Remember, the Jews at this time, they didn't really believe, other than generally, he was on his way. And he would come as a conqueror. He certainly wouldn't come quietly. And he would take care of the Romans and get rid of them. So they don't go out there. But the wise men, they meet with Herod. Herod sends them to Bethlehem, saying, that's where he'll be. And when you find him, come back and report to me. I want to worship him, as we said. And that was a lie. He wanted to kill this king before he grew into any prominence in Israel. Get rid of another person that might take over his throne. And so the wise men go there and they present gifts. I didn't realize. Think about this. They got gold, incense, and myrrh, very valuable things. What do you do with that? You're commoners, you don't have a palace. You don't put them on display. We don't hear about these gifts again. Like, yeah, here's the gifts the wise men brought. This is Jesus, see? Here's the gifts. They're right here in our home. They probably sold it so that they could make their trek to Egypt and back, and all the travel and the expenses. The wise men brought the ability for them to, in a sense, take care of Jesus, parent Jesus, for a period of time. And when they showed up, they were in a house. They had the house expenses and so on. Here the wise men are providing for this king. A couple of cool things. These guys were Gentiles. They came to worship. As soon as they found Jesus, they worshiped. Gentiles. Where are the Jews? Where are they at? They're shepherds. And they come to worship. Not the king. He wanted to kill him. He was someone that might take over his throne. Not the people studying the scriptures, the Jewish leaders. Nope. They weren't interested, or they didn't think this couldn't be it, because he would come to Jerusalem and establish himself on the throne. He wouldn't be in Bethlehem, even though that's what it says. We'll tell you that, but we're not going to go out there and check. So it's no wonder they're called wise men. They come for who knows how long from a place where they were just doing cultic practices, using the stars rather than God to give advice. And now they come and they worship. They bend their knee. The world system, the wrong religious system, people from another nation, Gentiles, coming before a baby and worshiping. They were that convinced. There's no indication that they had the scriptures. Maybe they did, to help convince them that this was the right course to take. It's similar to us facing 2020, isn't it? We know God wants to do some amazing things. We don't know what they are. We could approach it with, you know, study of the scriptures, and we'd find certain things that we're supposed to be looking for. Jesus in Matthew 24 gave us signs and seasons that we're supposed to look for when he comes again. So we'll be looking for those things in a new decade, in a new year, all wrapped up into one. We're going to be asking God, what's going to happen this year for the church across the world? We're going to be asking, what's going to happen for this body of believers? Jesus, we're going to be asking you, what's going to happen for my individual life? But all of it has to do with doing what the wise men did. They sought him even though they didn't have all the answers. They went after him and put their feet to it even though they didn't have everything clear in their minds. In fact, they weren't even the right character to do it. They had been worshiping almost the stars and the alignment of the stars, something created by this person that they now came to worship with valuable items to present before him. They gave their best to this little baby. Somewhere in their journey, they changed from being just, you know, interested seekers looking at the stars to directing their worship at Jesus. That's quite a transformation. And they were totally clueless in so many ways. If they didn't have the scriptures of the Old Testament, they were going on what God was speaking into them by conviction. By keep going on this journey, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to change to be a worshiper. The closer you get to where he actually is, you're going to bow as soon as you get there and present your best to him. So they said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? They're already declaring he's the king before they see him. Where in their journey, where in their process did this revelation hit them? They had some kind of encounter. That revelation only comes from some kind of encounter with God. We talked about all those encounters last week with the various personalities in the Christmas account, not the Christmas story. They had a true encounter with God to change from worshiping or looking at the stars and thinking it was all about the alignment of the stars, to looking at the alignment that heaven had brought a king to earth and they needed to worship him. They had a full-out, blown-away encounter with the living God on the way to worshiping the king that he was bringing to the earth. Incredible that they would do that. In fact, as you go through Matthew, you're going to see the unbelief of what group of people? The very ones that should be receiving this king. The unbelief in Jesus. Who are the ones that reached out in belief in the Gospels? Many times Gentiles. The outcasts. The Samaritan woman. the woman that had the demonized daughter, all Gentiles. In many ways, they had no, in a sense, they had no right to come before God and say, here I am. In their minds, in their society, the way it was set up, the Jews were the only ones. They were the chosen. They were the ones with the promises. But who did Jesus reach out to and meet their needs and heal and bless? Gentiles so often, because they're the ones that had the faith. It might have been so small, but so many of them were the ones that had the seed of faith that he just watered and blessed. And they came, they ended up receiving gifts from God. See, we're not just the ones bringing our best to God. He brought the best to earth first. He presented Jesus. He was the real treasure. When you look at the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, he was the real treasure in the room. And Mary knew that in her heart. Joseph had come to realize that as he kept having encounters. We said he had at least 4 encounters. Others were saying, well, hey, what about some of these other characters? They must have had encounters to get to the encounter they had with Jesus. Zacharias, for instance. Someone hit me up after church and said, what about Zacharias? He had the, you know, boom, went mute, and then boom, he had this experience of being unleashed with his tongue. He said all these wonderful things. I mean, Zacharias had some pretty cool encounters. So maybe you have some other ones that you see in here of people. Today it's the wise men we're talking about. And they paid attention to something in the sky. Do you know that Jesus also told us? Even, you know, a sailor or whatever, they can look at the sky and say, ooh, you know, something's happening. And you know what's going to happen, whether there's going to be a storm or no storm or whatever, look at the sky. You know, these guys were doing it almost in worship of those stars, and yet God got to their hearts anyway. Because they were willing to put footsteps to the very little that they knew and follow a star to a place where they were asking, all right, is it here or not? This is the big city. This is where he should be. The king should be right here. And then to find out, no, he's in a little town outside. They could have said, well, that can't be. And they could have returned home. But instead they heard, oh, that's from the scriptures? We'll follow through and go that extra 5 miles, which is about what it is. And we'll seek him out. And somehow that star or the glory of God or whatever it was, they called it a star. That's what they were used to looking at, but maybe it wasn't. Pointed right to a spot that was hidden from everyone else. It didn't point to the hotels. Remember, they were all booked up because of the census. Pointed to a manger, and they found it. When people seek Jesus, they find him. If they seek them with their whole heart. Are you going to be one that seeks Jesus to find him in 2020? Or are you just going to seek him? Well, I'll just keep hanging out and coming, and I don't expect to find Jesus or have these encounters that Pastor Bill talked about last week, or the Bible clearly shows in all these people's lives, angels showing up and fireworks and light in the darkness and all these things, and then Jesus slips in very quietly and is born. I know others have that, but me? These wise men were clueless, and God got them to the place where they were worshipers. He can do that same thing with us, can't he? We're kind of looking at 2020. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel like clueless. What is this going to look like? It's got to be a significant year in God's heart. You just hear so many prophecies about it. Everyone's looking forward to it. Some don't even want to hear anymore. There's so much said about 2020. Like Pastor Mary Pat said, it's too much, too much. Come on. Do we really need to hear anymore? Yes, we do. We need to hear from you for this body. What's going to happen in 2020 with Frontline? You are the ones that are going to hear. Oh, I expect I will hear something. Pastor Mary Pat will hear something. But it's only going to be a piece of the puzzle. I got one of my Christmas gifts, 1,000 pieces in a puzzle. And I'm going, look, I can look on the cover of it and see what it's supposed to look like. Why do I have to put it together? It's right there. Shows me what the thing's going to be. But let's just say that we're just two pieces. Pastor Mary Pat's one piece and I'm the other piece. Okay, put us in the center if you want. Very honoring of you. I don't want to be on the edge. I want to be right in the center of things. But you are the other pieces. You have the other pieces to the puzzle. You have the prophecies for this body that God's going to give you. The encounters for this body that God's going to give you. Some of you have spoken those things out. Okay, some of you a little late. We hear about things after almost everything's finished. Oh yes, I had a dream about that. Did you? Did you happen to mention it to us? I am now. But it's already being fulfilled. We could have known ahead of time. That's what prophecy is. Telling us something ahead of time. And people go, okay, I'll do better next time. In 2020, all of you better be on time with your prophecies, dreams, visions, pictures to tell the leadership. And then the leadership, if they tell you, tell us. If they tell us, we'll tell you. We've got to do better with our communication on all these prophetic things that are coming. Because God's giving them. God is giving them. God is going to increase them according to Joel 2, Acts 2. He's going to increase them in the last days. We're going to experience that because we're open to it. We're seeking him. We're wise men, wise women, no gender. And he's going to give it all to you. You're a piece of the puzzle. So we don't want to hear in 2020. We don't want to hear after something has already happened. Oh, I had a dream about that. I had a vision. I had a picture. That's a little late. These guys, they had to be on time. The wise men, the shepherds, they had to be on time, as I mentioned last week. They couldn't sit around out and go, wasn't that a cool experience? And sit out there in the field for too long. The baby was going to be on the move. So they had to act. They had to believe and step out into what they had seen out in the field. Some of you are saying, well, as soon as I get a little more used to this prophetic thing, I'm not used to it enough yet. You know what? God doesn't wait when he wants to give somebody something. Mary's just sitting there minding her own business, probably a teenager, and an angel shows up. She didn't know what was up, what was going on, and she asked a very humble question about it. So he's going to come to you. You might not know up from down in the prophetic. You might not know all the terminology. You might not know Jesus so well yet. Does it matter? He could come to you. But I don't feel qualified. You're probably the one he's going to come to. You speak that out, he's coming to you. Because he's going to show you, you qualify. Because you're in my family. And I like to speak to my children. I'm not a dad that keeps my mouth shut and just lets the children play. No, I'm a dad that wants to communicate to my children. And as it gets closer to my return, I want to let them know with excitement what's coming, what's happening a little bit along the way. Oh, I won't tell them the day. He's already said that. So you don't have to be put on the spot. We come to you and say, okay, we're going to go through the all of you line up. Which day is Jesus coming? What hour? Come on. You're prophetic. No, because he already told us, none of us are going to know that. But we do know the season. We will know the season. We'll see the signs. Matthew 24, Matthew 25. We're going to see some signs. When you see this, get ready. That's basically the message of that. Some people study those things at length. But it's going to be obvious to those seeking Jesus, the wise men and women seeking Jesus. It's going to be obvious. And if you want to study it, great. You'll just be that much more encouraged and that much more on alert. But it's going to be obvious. And we're going to be talking about it. Think about that. Did you hear what happened in Jerusalem today? No, tell me. We're going to be a lot more prepared than they were for the first incarnation. When Jesus came the first time, they weren't prepared. No one was prepared. And everyone was following and doing things because angels had to tell them the next step. Or they had to have a revelation from a star because they looked up at the stars. And he had to bring the nations to Jesus because he's the desire of nations. And by the way, if you want that passage, I looked it up. Haggai 2:7. More and more, he's going to be the desire of the nations. You don't necessarily see that right now. But there's going to be birth pains, waves of people coming to Jesus as it comes time for his return. And there's going to be evil increasing at the same time. Aren't you excited? Woo! Should be a wild, wild world. Looking forward to 2020? Woo! What will happen in the prophetic calendar this year? And maybe you'll be the one to sound the trumpet, the alert. Da, 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 da. Something's coming in the next week. And you put us all on alert and we see it happen in Jerusalem or we see it happen in one of the nations. Come on. You're qualified to be the person that God speaks to. And what if this body... Let's just say we are frontline. Let's say we're the ones on the front line that are supposed to tell others in our area, other Christians, hey, did you know this? This is coming. And it prepares them. What if that's the case? I don't know if it is. But I tell you one thing, if we're seeking, we're bringing our best to him, our frankincense, myrrh, and gold to him and saying, here it is. And basically it's our life, isn't it? It's our life and everything that revolves around our life. The finances, that's minor. He's got to have your heart first before your finances are ever on the altar. Your heart has to be on the altar first before your finances ever make it to the altar. Before your wallet makes it there, your heart has to be there. And so what if you are the person to sound the trumpet in this body, and we sound the trumpet as a body in other bodies we're connected to. We can't be unconnected in these days. The last couple of years I've been connecting with more pastors and pastors' associations than ever, and I used to just disregard that. Like, that's not me. And it's not easy. It isn't for pastors to get together and understand one another. But there are groups that are starting to understand one another, and there are groups that are starting to rebel against what God has planned. Both, which you would expect. And I happen to be members of both. and I'm seeing it. And what does that mean? Jesus is coming. He's coming. We're going to be readier than ever for this coming. No one was ready for the first one. We're going to be ready for this one. You're going to be responsible for helping us get ready. Don't just wait for Pastor Mary Pat and I to ready you, because he might not use us as that particular puzzle piece for that particular season. He might use you, or should I say, he will use you. That's my sense. You're going to increase in the prophetic. You're going to increase in encounters. You're going to increase in signs and wonders. You're going to increase in what God has for your families, for your friends, for other believers in this area. Let's take the responsibility. We call ourselves frontline. Let's take the responsibility. It isn't just a cute little thing that somebody gets a word from God. It's significant, like it was in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. Significant. It's not just so, well, I can have a better business. That business is supposed to fit into something. That puzzle piece. All of it's supposed to work together for the building of the kingdom, somehow, some way. Do we understand every bit of it? No, but that's the fun of it, isn't it? The adventure of a lifetime is going to happen in this next year. Do you believe that? Or is this going to be, you know, whoop-de-doo, we see the ball drop, and, oh, well, you know, it's just another year, really. Let's be anticipating, excited. Let's be willing to put energy behind our steps towards seeking Jesus in 2020. Let's see those breakthroughs that here at the end of 2019, there have been some people have gotten hit. Let's just be honest. Across the earth, they've been getting hit. What does that tell you? The enemy's mad with what's coming. The enemy is angry with what's coming. We have to be on the alert, but on the alert with joy, not sitting there, I'm on the alert. But I'm on the alert. Are you on the alert? It'd be great if we asked that question during this next year. Are you still on the alert? I mean, it's February now. And, you know, whatever took place in January, but are you still on the alert? As we said last week, we're closer to the second coming of Jesus than ever. I was talking with someone, forget who it was, 1988. 88 reasons why Jesus will come in 1988. It was a popular book. 88 reasons. 88 reasons. And he didn't come. I don't know. Anybody tell you he didn't come? Who was born after 1988? Raise your hand. Come on, raise them up. There we go, there we go. Yay! You're here! And so are we! We're glad he didn't come in 1988 in some ways. Other ways we might wanted him to come in 1988. I know some things that in my life would have been different, but anyway... But please don't come up with 2020 reasons why Jesus is coming in 2020. Come up with one reason why he's still on his way. He loves us, and he wants more people to come to him before he returns. And that's our job as frontline, that these aren't just pictures, they are people. These aren't just pictures but these are nations. The wise men came as a representative of the nations, as a representative of Gentiles, desiring the king and bringing their best before the king. Do you know there are lots of prophecies about the wealth of the Gentiles coming into the hands of Israel, maybe the church by extension, in the last days? Why? So we can all buy yachts. No. To build the kingdom. The end time kingdom. Why is there increase, however small or big, in your finances? It has something to do with building the kingdom. And he wants to add on top of that the riches of the Gentiles that won't receive him. The world that won't receive him. Those that will not give their lives to Jesus. He's going to add some of the riches of the evil to the righteous. And by the way, we don't know exactly who's going to be in the camp of the righteous, right? So we can't be going, well, yeah, that person should give up some of their... They're a billionaire and they don't care about Jesus. They might care about Jesus. You might be the one that would be in their circle eventually to share about Jesus. Who would think that some of the people would be in the Oval Office praying for President Trump that are praying for President Trump? Yeah. Who would think that? And yet he was able to, God, orchestrate all that, move chess pieces so that there are people praying in the Oval Office. And whoever the next president is, I hope the same thing happens. If it's Trump, great. If it's someone else, I pray that those Christians will be there praying with that president and having an influence like a Daniel, like a Joseph. It might be you. Well, it couldn't be me. Joseph came out of a prison as a slave and was brought to court. Have any of you been in prison? Oh, you don't have to answer that. Ever had a speeding ticket? Don't answer. But he might qualify you suddenly and you enter into circles that you've never thought you would enter into. Why can't we think big? When Jesus came to Mary, how many people were in the room? Was it a mega church? One person changed history. This body has changed nations by going since 1996 to the nations. If you don't think that, then why are we going? Nations have been changed because we went there with the gospel, which is much more powerful than us. And we preach the gospel. Does the gospel stop once it starts? No, it continues. It blasts away. The word of God stays and multiplies wherever it is planted. So does it matter whether we have a team of 4 or a team of 16? Do you think it's a more powerful trip when we have a trip of 16? No. It's not. Sure glad for those 16 that go. And they're always told when they get back, this is the best mission trip ever. So, you know, that's good. You're encouraged. But it's not the number. So in this room, if you look around at the empty seats, you're looking at the wrong thing. You need to look around at the faithful hearts. Those that are sold out to seek Jesus as wise men and women. Because that's what God looks at. When he looked at David, he didn't see a shepherd. He saw a king. He saw a deliverer of Israel when he looked at David. His family looked at David and said, what a runt. The youngest. When Samuel lined up with God, he stopped thinking the same way, and he blessed the new king of Israel as a young boy, a shepherd. And the process he had to go through was not simple to become the king. The first thing was he had to run, basically. You go to bless the king that is king, and he demons leave him when you play music. Demons leave Saul when David played music. That's pretty powerful worship. And what did he get for it? Spears thrown at him. What did he get for it? He had to run from the power of the king to catch him, find him, kill him. And God protected him. Because what Samuel said over this shepherd boy had to happen. What if he is protecting your life in every way from all the things that could come against it and helping you get through the things that are getting through to you because you have a special voice in the last days? You have a special voice in this body. You have a special voice in the nations. Why not with you? If he can come to a simple village girl like Mary, if he can come to a shepherd boy like David, why not you? And speak something into you that is needed for the last days. Of course he can. And I think he will. Maybe it won't be, you know, something that will completely change everything on earth, but maybe it will. Who knows? People that have been raised up into position, when they tell you what their background's like, you're like, how did that ever happen? Oh, God designed that. He's the one that put that in motion. He came to that simple person and did extraordinary things. Do you want to expect for 2020? High? Way over? What you think you should expect for your lives? I don't know about you, but I'm willing to leave 2019. It was a glorious year in many ways, and it was a hard year in many ways. Let's see what 2020 has. Let's open the window and see what God is going to pour out as blessings to us so that we can give them away. Let's have that heart. I want to give away, God, whatever you give to me. I want to give it away in greater measure. I want you to energize what you give to me so it multiplies with whoever I give it to. Wow. We have to let God raise our expectations, not this message. The Holy Spirit needs to keep your expectations high as you go out the door. And as we start to celebrate the end of the year, going into the new year, to let those expectations stay high, that takes Holy Spirit. That can't be us just cheering you on. You have to connect with the power of the Holy Spirit to lift your expectations. Well, I'm just a so-and-so, and I can't do so-and-so. You're going to do greater exploits than ever as you put your heart, your resources, all you are into the hand of a mighty God. You're going to knock out some Goliaths. You're going to knock out some Goliaths. And it might be right inside your heart that the Goliaths are, not out here. There are some things that have held you back. Pain, grief, something you have against God. Something you have against someone else. He's going to say, I'm going to bring in such forgiveness, you won't be able to resist it. I'm going to bring in such change to your heart, you won't be able to resist it. I'm going to show you I'm not only the desire of the nations, I'm the greater desire of your heart. And I'm going to change you. I'm going to rearrange everything in you so that you can be ready for what's coming. Why not? Why wouldn't we want to give ourselves to that process? Well, pride. So give it up. Let's give up pride for 2020. Let's just throw it away. Get rid of it all. Pride for 2020, you're dead in my heart. Kill it, Jesus, kill it. It's the Goliath, go ahead. Hit it in the head and then slice off the head. Because I don't want pride in me. There's no way I can receive from you like I'm supposed to receive from you if pride is in there. There's no way I can forgive another person if pride gets in the way. There's no way that I can forgive another person that's hurt me, harmed me, wrecked my life. Do you know there's not a person that can wreck your life to the place that God can't rescue it and give you a better destiny than what you ever could have had? He's much bigger than any hits we've ever taken. So let's quit talking about the hits. Give those over to him. That's part of the pride, hanging on to the hits. But I had this happen to me, and I had that happen to me, and this happened in my life, and this went wrong, and this didn't go like I thought it should. But you're bigger than that, aren't you, God? Which do I want to hang on to? Do I want to seek you like a wise man, or do I want to hang on to this junk? Because you're going to give me the gifts to give to you. Where in the world did the wise men get the gifts? If they were just counselors to the king, how did they get those riches? Maybe. They went to the king to get the gifts for the king. Isn't that what we do? In order to present anything to you, Jesus, I need to get it from you first. A great work of the Holy Spirit in my heart that I cooperate with so I can do the exploits of God. They aren't just me with a great idea. They aren't just me with my meager resources. They aren't just me with my anointing even. You have to energize all of that for me to give back love, appreciation to you. When I talk to someone about Jesus, you have to empower those words so they're life for people. It's not just a memorized, rote thing. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead. It better be from a heart filled with Holy Spirit energizing power to empower that gospel. These wise men were led by something so powerful that they didn't understand. They were transformed on the way. They get there, they offer their best without reservation. Well, maybe he's not the one. Who knows? It's just a baby. Could be somebody else here. Anybody else around? No, they knew. How'd they know? Revelation. Some guys that were looking at the stars ended up looking at the star of the entire course of human history. The star of the course of human history was right in front of them as a baby. Would you give all your riches to a baby and his parents? They did. They were that convinced. And by the way, he wasn't the king of their nation, their area, their deal. And they went back. But they went back changed. Anyone in the presence of true kingship is changed dramatically. Do you want to be changed in 2020, or do you want 2020 just to show its changes? We have to be changed. We have to be ready. We have to be on alert. And he does it in us. Not a message at the end of the year, not looking at the encounters of others in the Bible or hearing about them from people in Frontline or other places, but our own seeking of him. Our own saying, enough is enough of my pride getting in the way. Enough is enough of my own ways of doing things getting in the way. Kill that Goliath in me, Lord, so that I can see with new eyes what you're going to reveal in this next year. Amen? Father, we thank you for every person here, God. We thank you for their hearts for you, faithfulness, desire to follow you, desire to seek you, God. I call them wise for that. You call them wise for that, which is even more important. You see the sacrifices that they make to seek you. You see the sacrifices you're still going to require of them and me, Father, in order for us to get deeper, higher revelation, deeper, higher encounters, deeper, higher impartation. Father, you're wanting that for us. We have to continue to pay the price. Help us not just give a sigh of relief at the end of 2019 and say, wow, that was a hard year. I'm just going to coast in 2020. That was such a hard year. Father, let us be more on the alert, more willing to give you gold, frankincense, and myrrh from our resources, which you have to supply to us. I don't think the wise men had that hanging around where they were living. They had to get it from the king. We have to get it from our king. You're our king. You're our Lord. Let that not just be a title. Let that be our joy. You're in charge of my life. Please speak to me in 2020. Reveal to me things to help this body and others. Help me to receive the things that come from a far land, from a far place, that are really you, that fit into the puzzle as well, God. Prophecies from other places, they are gold, frankincense, and myrrh for us. Jesus, you're going to have this be a very incredible year for every person here, God, as they seek you, as they come before you and offer themselves. Kill pride in all of us, God. Every last one of us needs an extra measure of allowing pride to be killed in us. Thank you, God. We offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices that we might know your good and acceptable will. Jesus, make us wiser, wise men and women. We need that from you, and you want that for us. So it's a match. We receive it from your hand, and we take it out to our families, our friends, our co-workers, students, and to the nations, God. We're willing. Here's my life. Here is my life. No holding back. No excuses. No hurt that keeps me from entering in. No pain that keeps me from being all you want me to be. I'm going to embrace you and not the pain. I'm going to embrace you and not the hurt. I'm going to embrace you and not the negative circumstances. I'm going to embrace you and not the negative emotions. I am going to embrace you. Seek you. Go after you. Chase you. Casting all my care upon you because you care for me. letting you take the heavy side of the yoke with all the burdens, while I am free, free to serve you and love you and be your son or daughter, Jesus. Jesus, we enter in to 2020 with this new attitude. It's not business as usual, but you have to do the work inside of me to put me on alert, and I receive it from you. You need to put inside of me prophetic words, dreams, visions, pictures. I receive it from you, God. You want that for me. You want that for each person here. Extra, new, fresh communication and shared, those that are supposed to be shared, shared with the body quickly. Where I've held on to things and didn't see they were valuable for the body, God, let me cooperate sooner with your spirit to give them to the body. Where I've shared things that were not for the body, but were for me, God, change that in me this year. Where I've thought, I can't receive, others do, but I'm not qualified, that's a form of pride. I allow it to be killed in me, Jesus. Thank you for every person here, every life, every child, God, and we're all in the same boat. We're all children. We give you praise as you parent us into being wise men and women, even more so in this next year. In Jesus' name, bring it about, make it true, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just in line with that, I received a prophetic sense this morning, and I alluded to it when I was just speaking out before Pastor Bill was speaking, and I said something about the Roaring Twenties from 1920 on, and as I was sitting back here, the Lord, I believe the Lord spoke to me and said, that is an end of an era from the beginning of 1920 now to 2020, that's 100 years. And this is the beginning of the roar of the Lion of Judah. This is very, it was very strong in my heart. It just, I took a, you know, a sit or a step back that there is going to be a roar that is released that we've not seen before. And what we will have, what we will hear, and maybe it's on TV already, and maybe there's a documentary. This is fresh to me, so I don't know about that. But the Roaring Twenties, this is going to be the Roaring Twenties of 2020 starting, but it's going to be a new roar, a very deep, powerful roar of the Lion of Judah. For Christmas, Pastor Bill got me a mug, among other things, and it said, I wish I had it to show you, it said, Dreamer at Work. And we laughed and went, oh boy, that is so you, yeah, because I dream, and I am a dreamer, and I am a, you know, those kinds of things that he's been talking about prophetically. But when I read the word work, and I think I'd mentioned this to our kids, some of our kids, I said, I want to see the fulfillment of those dreams. And that is taking a step and putting things into action that have been dreams as we've been waiting for a very long time. There's power that comes to us who wait, and we're waiting on the Lord. But there's also action that needs to take place at certain points with visions and dreams and prophetic utterances that the Lord gives us. And Pastor Bill spoke about that. So I release that over you because I know that's my portion, and I know that's my destiny, and I release that also over you as dreamers at work, so you take the steps that need to be taken, that you're not hesitant, you're not waiting on things that assuming the Lord's going to do something when he's saying, step in because you are a dreamer, and I will give you what you need to work out your salvation. So that's the builder anointing that also is very important in those who dream. And when you have, when you carry the dreaming anointing, which I know I have from God because I can't take any credit for it, but I also have a builder anointing. And there's so many things that I want to see built. And the Lord spoke to me when I got this cup on Christmas morning. And I looked at that, and he was reminding me that when you have the anointing for dreaming and visioning, a visionary dreamer anointing, and you have a builder anointing as well. When they come into alignment, things will take shape, things will happen, things will begin to pop. So I just release that over you, because that's the word of the Lord that he gave to me, for me, for my life. And if that's you, you can grab up and catch that word also for yourself. God bless you.
Just one thing about the wise men at the end. Remember, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Are we going to do what makes sense, which would have been the king told me I need to come back and report to him? Or are we going to do what God wants us to do, which is, he said, don't go back to the king? That was a violation, an international violation of what you're supposed to do. But they listened to God, and obviously that was absolutely the best, because that allowed Joseph and Mary and Jesus to escape Bethlehem before the slaughter. So it's highly important that we don't just do what makes sense. It has to be supernatural leading from the Holy Spirit that we enter into in this year. If we go to our mind too much without letting the Spirit override it, then we're going to be in trouble. We've said this many times before in many different ways, but I'm telling you, for this year, it's a key. The Holy Spirit rules our spirit, which rules over our mind, will, and emotions. If our mind is too much involved, we would have done what the wise men didn't do. We would have returned to Herod and said, oh, by the way, we found him. He's in this particular cave. Also, watch out for, double check these things that you get from God. Keep asking him, is this really from you? Because the enemy will want to bring in confusion and so on. So he will repeat it, and he'll repeat it. He'll repeat it with joy. He'll repeat it gently to you if it's really from him. He won't be screaming it at you. That's the enemy. And so these things that you receive from God, continue to ask God, and then ask someone else that you trust that has received prophetic things, and see what they have to say about it. Because the worst thing that could happen is, which doesn't happen here, but 15 people standing up and saying, I've got a word of the Lord, and 14 of them are off. So just double check with the Lord. You don't have to, get such a serious look on your face. It's a joyous thing, checking with the Lord over those things. And he will guide you. He will lead you. Oh, yeah, this really is from me. It's not just, the pizza you ate last night. So kind of important. And the wise men obviously followed and obeyed, despite the risk to themselves and international relations. They did it anyway, at whatever cost, because they had figured out he truly is worthy of worship. So, be blessed. See you Tuesday night, those that are coming.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.